everyone. What's up? Welcome back to another episode of 200 and Counting. I'm your host, Tia Hill. And on this episode, I'm going to be talking about a documentary. It was in the news for a while. This topic was the main thing that was being reported on for a good chunk of 2019. I feel like we all saw this documentary coming, but I am a little bit surprised at how quickly they managed to churn this one out. It's called Operation Varsity Blues, the College Admission Scandal. And to be honest with you, oh boy, I'm about to go in on this doc.
We help the wealthiest families in the U.S. get their kids into school.
So I've done 761 what I would call side doors. The front door means getting in on your own. So I've created this kind of side door in because my families want a guarantee.
So the story broke back in 2019, and it was, you know, it was a story about how a bunch of parents, a bunch of rich people, some of them were celebrities, including Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, who played freaking Lynette on Desperate Housewives, which I loved, and Lynette would have never done something like this. Lynette would never. All of these rich parents got found out for essentially paying to get their kids into all of these elite and exclusive colleges, and they were paying this coach to get their kids in, lying, doing all this shifty stuff. Like I said, it was huge news. It was front page news for weeks and months on end. But to be honest with you, as fucked up as that is, I truly was not surprised. Like I was more surprised that it became such a huge national scandal because I assumed that everyone else assumed that this already went on. Like, was anybody really genuinely surprised when this came out? That yes, some rich people do pay to get their kids into school. It happens all over the place, often very openly. People will buy a wing of the school of like the freaking pizza lab, and all of a sudden, you know, Jimmy is in because that's like Jimmy's family wing of the whatever laboratory. And that just happens. Now, I'm not saying it's right. It's messed up that that happens. But unfortunately, that's the world we live in. So I was just a little bit like, oh, wow, this is really a big story. Oh, people are surprised about it. Okay, people are paying attention. I was honestly very surprised that anything ever happened to the parents. If you followed this story, then you would know that a lot of them actually got time in prison. Now, of course, they got like a few months in prison. I don't even necessarily know if this necessitates prison. I don't know. Is prison ever really necessary? Anyway, that's a whole other conversation for another time. To be honest with you, I don't think that this even needed to be a feature-length documentary. I really didn't. If you Google the name of this documentary, the first thing that comes up is an article about how terrible it is. But I wanted to break it down and give you a certified Tia review so you know before you go in and watch it, like a try before you buy type of situation. And the first thing to know about this documentary, besides the fact that it really does not need to be as long as it is because we were just there. That's just crazy to me when they make documentaries about things that literally just happened like 2 years ago. If you want to learn, you could Google and some very recent news articles will come up. People are still being sent, like the trials are still going on. But the second thing to know is that it's one of those docs that has freaking reenactments through the film. And you know how I feel about reenactments. They stretch this all the way out by having a bunch of actors reenact scenes, but there was no narration. They have like a, they have a little disclaimer up that's like, okay, these are all based on real conversations. And I don't remember, they may or may not have said that they slightly changed it, but it's like, okay, so it's scripted. It's scripted then. If it's based on real, it's based on some conversation, but there will literally be scenes of parents talking back and forth on the phone to this coach person trying to get their kids into college. And that's most of it. It's basically a movie. And I hate the recent thing that's been going on that's like melding pre-recorded clips with dialogue into this documentary because that's literally not what a documentary is. That's like a weird, like made for TV movie. It's just like a movie that is based on something that really happened with director's commentary. And except for the director's commentary, it's commentary from the people that it's based on. That's all that it is. It's like a reunion special in documentary form. I just don't get it.
Hey, Rick.
Hey there.
Is this a good time?
Yeah, it's good for me.
Rick, I had a question for you.
It's just you and me. Is that kosher?
Absolutely.
I just wanted you to walk me through the whole thing again and how it works.
But, you know, in more technical terms, and I've said this before on the podcast, but I feel like if you do not have the archival footage, if you do not have the rights to the photos to use as footage, if you do not have enough assets to tell the story visually, then maybe film, maybe video, maybe documentary is not the medium through which you need to be telling the story. That's why podcasts come in handy. That's why writing comes in handy. Not everything, and this is coming from me, who loves a documentary about some crazy stuff. Not everything has to be a documentary. Not everything does. And here I feel like they kind of do a lot that did not need to be done. Like I said, they have these reenactments, and basically it's a lot of scenes of parents talking on the phone because there was a man that they paid to orchestrate this whole thing, an independent college counselor named Rick Singer.
Singer reportedly ran the scam under the guise of his education consulting firm called The Key. The website boasts about helping over 90,000 adults with life coaching and beating the odds to get into college. 2 days after the scandal was made public, most of The Key's website seemed to be offline.
Now, first and foremost, they made Rick seem like a huge liar. Like, he told people he'd sat on the boards of companies. He lied about all this stuff on his resume. He did used to be a coach on some kind of college basketball team, but it wasn't D1. It wasn't some big team. And honestly, he was an oddball. They said he was very quiet. He kept to himself. But Rick was a guy that parents would call and they would say, you know, he'd go to them and he'd be like, your measly little donations of a few hundred thousand aren't enough. They need millions. Da 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 da. Now, what was interesting was he would work with the kids and act like he was their counselor doing whatever. And then he'd get on the phone with the parents and be like, all right, so this is what we're actually going to do. Basically, people would either pay millions of dollars to the school, literally millions of dollars to the school to get their kids in. And then, you know, they magically get in. Or they have Rick hook it up and he had a whole little situation going on to get kids in. So a lot of times what he would do is he would stage it so it looked like the kid played some niche sport like sailing or rowing or horseback riding or fencing. Mind you, these are sports that most people do not have access to. Those are expensive sports. So that already clears out a whole bracket of kids. And then he gets them in on one of those teams because he's literally working with people in the athletic departments and bribing them. And so he'd get in with one of those athletic directors. And then they'd be like, hey, let this kid on into the school, right? And so they get the kid into the school. Then the kid doesn't even have to show up to practice. They're just in the school. On paper, yes, they're on the team, but they never actually play. They never show up at games. They're not like on any roster that anybody knows about externally. And it's always, again, always these sports that nobody really pays attention to like that, or only certain people pay attention to. So it's really like an isolated process that nobody even realizes is happening.
Prosecutors just released a trove of emails and call recording logs connected to the case. The emails also reveal how USC was trying to court one of Lachlan and Gianelli's daughters, even as prosecutors say the couple was plotting a sham resume to get her admitted as a fake rower on crew.
The athletic directors are literally paid off. They go to the deans or to whoever and vouch for these people who aren't really athletes. It's just that Rick Singer paid them to say this. So there's a ring of people involved in this whole conspiratorial thing. And what I found especially crazy, which they didn't even bring up, is that there's always been this whole debate over college athletes and whether or not they should pay college athletes. And which I think is really wild because there are a lot of kids, specifically Black kids, especially Black men, who to get into college, they have to be the best at their sport. They get scouted, they get to go to college, they play for this school for 4 years. And then after that, they get thrown to the curb. If you don't make it into the big leagues, maybe you'll make it into a minor league. Maybe you'll like travel, play basketball, whatever. That happens to kids all the time. And then here are kids who get to kind of like float on to some random ass sports team and then live happily ever after while going to college. And so that dichotomy, that is just, oh God, that is just terrible to me. Just truly terrible. Another way that he would use to get kids into these schools is he would use this whole fake testing scheme, which honestly was very elaborate. And I was like, wow. The fact that, first of all, a lot of these things were very, very bold, which just goes to show you that it's a bunch of people with so much privilege that they never thought that they could get caught. So they're like, okay, let's just do everything in broad daylight because no one's going to find out or stop us. Quite frankly, again, I'm surprised anybody ever got in trouble for this. So basically, the kid is working with him as their college advisor, and they go to a specific psychiatrist that he recommends who says that child has a learning disability. And I want to be very mindful here because yes, people do genuinely have learning disabilities, and this is not to make light of that. But in this instance, specifically, he was having them go to someone to just say that they had a learning disability just so that they could take the test, the SAT, the ACT, whatever, alone. They would get to take the test by themselves, get extra time, mark it on a separate sheet of paper, turn the test into the proctor. Well, it turns out the proctor is working with Rick Singer, and the proctor then takes their test and then literally takes their test, remarks their answers on a different sheet of paper and turns it in, and then they get the exact score that they want. They had this going on for years. And what is wild is the kids who were involved, the children of these parents, had no idea that this is what was happening. They had no idea that this is how they were getting into college. They had no idea that this was all going on in the background, because parents would pay Rick and be like, I want to make sure that my kid does not know.
In the midst of her college application process, this 21-year-old says her mother got a call from Rick Singer.
He asked her what my grades were. He asked her what my ACT score was. She told him, and he said, oh, those aren't getting her into Ivy Leagues. He goes, oh, well, you know, is she athletically involved in any way? Is she a star athlete? And my mom says, this girl can't play anything. And he kind of just said, oh, it won't be a problem.
Now, some of the kids did know. I'm pretty sure that Olivia Jade, or they at least alluded to the fact that Olivia Jade knew what her mom was doing or what her parents had done for her. Olivia Jade was the most famous example because she was an influencer beforehand. So she had all these fans who came out and they were like, what the hell? You just cheated your way into college? Like, what? Were you even doing any work in high school?
The scandal broke in March of 2019. Olivia Jade dropped out of the University of Southern California, where she was a freshman, both she and her family making headlines in the pay-to-play college admissions bribery scandal.
I think I can understand how wrong it is, and we had the means to do something and we completely took it and ran with it.
Now, to be honest, I didn't know who Olivia Jade was until this whole thing happened, probably because I'm not a high school girl, so that tracks. I mean, that makes sense. In the midst of all of these weird reenactments that they had going on, these were exact conversations. So the most interesting part about the fact that there were reenactments was that you got to hear people say some really crazy ass stuff. And then you had to go back and remember, like, oh, wait, they actually said this. They actually said this shit. Because some of the parents clearly hated their kids. This one woman whose family created Hot Pockets, God bless them. This one woman was like, oh, yeah, I need to make sure my daughter doesn't know because she's not dumb like my other daughter. Like my other daughter, that fucking dumbass. Like, this daughter's actually smart, not like my other daughter, who's a piece of shit and stupid. I mean, she didn't say all that, but she did say she's not dumb like my other daughter, which is crazy. Crazy. Even crazier is that this whole documentary came out. So it's like, imagine finding out along with millions of other people that your mom thinks that you're stupid. That is so terrible. That's really so terrible. All I could think through the whole thing was I was like, man, these people really hate their kids. It's like people just go on with having families and having children and living these lives, and they really genuinely do not want to, because a lot of these people just seem like they really did not even, they didn't know their kids well. They had terrible relationships with them. They didn't want to be doing this. They didn't want their kid around. I was just like, why did you even, what is the point of all of this? One, a lot of parents on the phone were like, you're going to be sure that this never gets out, right? Like, because I do not want to get caught. Like, this can never come out. This would be a huge news story and it would be terrible. And Rick's like, no, don't worry. We'll never get caught. One dad literally said, I'm not worried about the moral issue. I'm worried about whether or not we get caught. He just straight up said that on the phone. And it was so crazy how much they would be snitching on themselves on the call. Like they were speaking in such detail that I once again thought that this was scripted. It was crazy. And they had one of the investigators say white collar criminals are a lot more free on the phone. And I thought that was very, very interesting, because if you were doing some real, if you were really about it, you would not be on the phone being so loose with your words. They were literally on calls like, so tell me, you're saying that I, Marcus Wiley, will pay you, Rick Singer, this amount of money, and you will guarantee that you will get my daughter into school illegally, even though she does not deserve it because she is stupid and gets bad grades. Is that what you're saying? In such detail. And Rick was like, yes, I would like to certify that I, Rick Singer, am going to accept this money. It almost sounded like both of them were trying to trap the other, but that was just genuinely how they were having their phone conversations and talking on the phone. It was just in such great detail that they were giving so much personal information and details of this stuff away, and it was being recorded the whole time. They talk a lot also about how a lot of parents do this because they want to be able to say that their kid went to some nice school. They want to be able to make themselves look good because their kid went on to a really, really nice school. And yeah, sure, I guess that's a thing, but really, really, and what's really wild is that if you lie to your kid their whole life, you're telling them they're smart when they're not, you're letting them get everything that they've ever wanted when they quite literally do not deserve it, they're going to be a terrible person. And not only are they going to be a terrible person to others, but they're going to be the type of terrible person that thinks that doing something like this is even remotely morally okay. No one ever thought, you know, hey, maybe my kid who isn't that bright doesn't deserve to go to this school. No one ever thought that. No one ever stopped to think, this is kind of crazy that we're doing this, that we have so much money that we can just do this. Everyone just thought, no, I deserve this. This is my right. This is my right. And I should do this. And no one thought twice. No one thought twice. Now, what was really messed up was that they showed a lot of YouTube videos, which I have issues with that we will get into later. But they showed a lot of YouTube videos of kids who genuinely wanted to get into college, who worked so hard, who were posting their rejection videos, their acceptance videos, whatever. And they don't get to go because presumably someone else took their spot. And because colleges have such strict requirements, they have such low acceptance rates, the kids were killing themselves trying to get these good grades, take all these AP classes. I remember when college was the most important thing. Then I remember I got to the end of college, I was like, I do not want to be here anymore. They talk a lot about it being an issue with the fact that colleges are so strict and they're so hard to get into and da 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 da, that they make it seem so exclusive. And they also talk about how after this whole scandal came out, it makes it look even more exclusive because people are thinking, oh, well, if all these rich people are going to go to such great lengths for their kids, then maybe I really should go to college.
I tend to focus the criticism on the colleges and universities that created this system. If they didn't have these loopholes and these preferences for families of privilege, then I don't think there would be these kind of temptations.
We put such a premium on going to college when honestly, it is not for everyone. It really is not for everyone. And you're not dumb. You're not stupid. You're not any of that if you don't get into a college or if you don't get good grades, despite what some of these rich kids' parents were saying. It genuinely is not for everyone. Not everybody learns well in that environment. Not everybody wants to do something that where you need to go to college, especially if you're super creative, whatever. What I always tell people is rather than focusing on I need to go to college to be successful in this field, focus on what are the concrete tools that I need? What are the skills that I need to learn and how can I enrich myself and empower myself in that way more than just getting a piece of paper? And they also say you can get a degree from anywhere. Just, you know, do your best, do your work. You could get a degree either way. But either way, it's still so messed up because there were so many kids that they saw that were in this documentary who were so anxious to see if they got into their dream schools who didn't get in. But then you see these other kids who are kind of ungrateful and they've gotten everything they've ever wanted just kind of waltz right in. And it's a cycle. It's a cycle of this because the same thing happened for their parents. The same thing will happen with their kids. And then it just creates this bubble of privilege. And then these people end up in the same type of jobs, in the same rungs of society. It's really, really crazy. Now, despite this being such a crazy issue, such a hot button issue, you know, a lot of points were made. The documentary is not good. It's really not good. Besides the fact that it's barely a documentary, it's mostly just watching actors recite court documents and transcripts of phone calls. It just was kind of all over the place. Again, I don't know when this started going into production. I'm assuming the minute the news story broke because it came out so soon afterwards, relatively speaking. It was just kind of sloppily put together. First of all, there was no distinct style of all of the interviews. There was no distinct style to how it was being filmed at all. Halfway through, they started adding scenes of them kind of marking the scene. So they started adding the background, you know, the footage when someone's sitting there in front of the camera and they're doing the clap and they're like, "Mark." You know, they added that halfway through, which they weren't doing before. They added the director's voice asking a question, which is switching the style up a little too much, a little too late in the game. They didn't already establish that's how they were filming these interviews. Also, the interviews went from everyone being filmed doing an interview on a seamless, you know, light blue background to all of a sudden the Stanford sailing coach is being interviewed in some room. I'm like, what's going on here? What's the background? What's the theme of this? What's the style? What are we doing? They didn't have lower thirds for everyone. Somebody came on screen and I was like, I would love to know who this man is. I'd love to know who this man is and what the hell he's talking about. I would love to know. Half of it was just compilations of YouTube footage. And I know that they try to do it to be like, this is technology. This is what kids care about. But it comes off from a filmmaking perspective, it comes off so incredibly lazy for you to just go on YouTube and rip some kids' videos, not give them any on-screen credit and just blow it up and put it in your doc. Instead of interviewing kids, like you didn't know anybody between the ages of like 15 to 20 to interview for this documentary, so you just pulled their YouTube videos, that's a little bit sus to me. That just seems sus. At the end of the actual documentary, despite all the privilege, despite all of that discussion, the way that they ended up getting found out is that one of the parents was arrested for an unrelated, totally unrelated charge. When they got locked up, they offered information about one of the coaches that was getting people into Yale. And then they go to that coach and it's this black guy. And he's like, oh, hell no. Let me tell you actually who's doing it all. Rick Singer. And I'll take you right to him. But don't take me to jail. Everybody just folded. And then they went to Rick and they were like, so what's up with all this? And so Rick was like, I'm not trying to go to prison. So Rick started recording his phone calls with every single person that he had called. And because, like they said earlier, white collar defendants have no filter on the phone, everybody just spilled. He was like, so remember when you paid me to get your daughter, what was her name, into college? Can you just run back by me what happened? And they just recited it. It was so So crazy. Again, any other criminal enterprise, people would be like, why are you asking me such specific ask questions? Hell, if somebody asked me specific questions like that, just in general, I'm like, who wants to know? But these people just spilled it. No problem. So many people ended up getting arrested, going to prison, doing time, getting fined. It was crazy. It was like the scandal of the year, because we've had bigger scandals in this decade. It's wild what has happened. There was only one coach who ended up just getting a house arrest, who they were like, he actually cared about the kids. He ended up getting house arrest in December 2019. His house arrest ended in December 2019. And then in March, we all went into quarantine. I was like, this poor man has had to stay home for so long. Overall, when all is said and done, I have to give this documentary 2 stars, maybe even 1.5. I will give it 2. 1 is the lowest. I don't give any doc 0 stars. 1 is the absolute lowest. It's terrible. 2 stars. And the only reason it's getting 2 stars is because it genuinely did unmask a lot of details that were interesting. It was interesting, but everything else about it was kind of terrible. But it had me hooked. I watched the whole thing. It wasn't so bad that I couldn't finish it. So I will tell you that. I will give it a strong 2 stars instead of 1.5. Would I recommend that you watch it? No, I wouldn't. If you even vaguely, you could read a headline from one of those stories and you would get the point of this documentary, and you would not need to read it or do any further research, because honestly, it did not provide any useful information. 2 stars for me. Wouldn't recommend that you watch it, but honestly, it is a very interesting story, and I think it says a lot about our society. But yeah, it definitely makes you think a lot about our society, a lot about the importance of college in our society, but it doesn't necessarily dig any deeper into that question. It makes you think, but it also doesn't make you think. It like just presents the theme and then does not dive deeper into the why at all or into any other aspects of the conversation. It's just kind of like, here it is, this is what happened, period, that's it. So that's why I'm giving it a solid 2 stars, as I said. But if you enjoyed this episode and you liked listening to me talk, feel free to leave a review of it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and share it with your friends. And I will be dropping links in the description if you want to follow me on other social media or find out more. But for now, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.